So, we're in the couch again.
Does that mean that we have a guest?
That can only mean one thing.
And today is a very, like, I wouldn't say serious, but respectful episode.
Today is a very respectful episode. I'm scared. Like, do you feel like we're going to be diagnosed today?
Diagnosed with something, probably.
With something new. Something extra for the other ones that we already have.
Hopefully. It's funny because we have so many questions for our followers, but maybe we are the ones that
need help. Maybe, yeah, maybe we should just forget this.
True. Should we call in the help?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Iris.
And this is Sophia.
And you're listening to... Undressed.
Okay. We're gonna have...
Catalina. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. So, should we just say it? Carolina is a therapist.
Yeah, that's true.
So today we're going to have like a therapy session here.
Exactly. We've been wanting a therapist here for the longest time.
Yeah. Okay. We kind of needed one like for all episodes just to be present.
But
we don't have the budget for that. So, so yeah. How are you?
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Of course.
Anytime. So, yeah. I'm pretty chill, I guess.
You're pretty chill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Been doing fine. Yeah. Lately. You guys too?
Yeah. And first of all, how old are you?
I'm 31 now.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been a psychologist?
Well, I have started my work in psychology in, I would say, 2020.
Okay, four years ago.
Yeah. With my... I don't know how you say, like, it's like the bar for a psychologist, like the order.
Yeah.
So I started there working for, as a psychologist, mm-hmm. And kept on 4 years in the same, on the same, subject, work subject, and started as a clinical psychology actually, last year.
Okay, cool.
Nice. Yeah. Did you always wanted to be one? Like, how did you come up with the idea of being like... A therapist.
Well, I was very indecisive mm-hmm. all my life on what to choose to do as a job because I have many, many, many broad interests. But I guess when you're like 15 and you have to choose between what areas to study, I was very between science and arts. I like arts very much, but... I might say with a bit of pressure of culture and society and
stuff like that. Especially in Portugal.
Yeah, especially in Portugal. And I ended up choosing science, not very aware of what I was going to do professionally yet. But in the end of high school, I was supposed to do my appliance to the unis.
Yeah.
And that's when... psychology seemed like the best option for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like the most abstract thing in science that can be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And it always interested me a lot, like understanding and talking to people and seeing mainly how so many different points of view there are in the same subjects. Yeah. So, yeah, it's very interesting to me in general.
Oh, I agree. Nice. I sometimes think that is really crazy because what you think... individually you think it's like a rule for everyone but like everyone has some different perspectives that it's very interesting it must be interesting to study. Was it hard, like the college degree?
It was not very, very hard, I think, because I was so into certain things and I have been dealing with mental health as well, like mental illness since early. I think I was very into understanding and reading about that before. So when I got to college, it was like, obviously there are a lot of things that you only learn there, but are very like theoretical and also related to business psychology and other aspects of psychology. So I didn't think it was very out of tune with what I was already investigating on my own.
Yeah.
So I kind of found out like it was more like putting names to what I was,
to where you already
already.
Is it weird? You said you already were also struggling yourself with some mental
Yes.
Illness. Do you think you can talk a little bit more? Like, what is it?
Yeah, no doubt. Like, from a young age, I found myself very, like, aware of how different we all are.
Yeah.
I can't, like, pinpoint when was the difference, but I know I felt, like, really, really emotional and misunderstood. I started struggling a bit on teenage years with who I was,
mm-hmm.
and comparing myself too much, maybe, and also with what I wanted to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this is valid for everyone. When you don't really see a clear purpose, it's much harder to work towards something because you're working towards everything and nothing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I kind of struggled. Like, I guess my mental illness related to depression in this case, mm-hmm. that's when I started like struggling a bit more, was maybe in high school years when I had to choose. And I saw myself much more into science studies, mm-hmm. and much more out of my area of enjoyment, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's very confusing.
It's very like, because we are going to touch this later on, but we always think, is it too early for kids to decide? Because here in Portugal, it's like when you're 16?
15? 15.
Sometimes 15.
Yeah, it's like before because it's in ninth grade, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's in ninth grade and you have like a psychologist for some random
tests
yeah. that will tell which area you want to be. Like, I was super hooked on Dr. House at the time. Of course, I wanted to be a like, neurologist or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't want to. I never wanted to. I don't want to be a doctor.
Yeah.
But that can lead you, like, your interests on that phase.
Yeah, of course. It's really biased. I remember, like, if I had, like, an era, if I was, like, in an era of my life where I was more interested in arts, I would just reply and, like, the result was that I should be, like, an artist. But, like, it's not. I think, like, we should have almost, like, how do you say, you should be accompanied like throughout like the entire
years.
Yeah throughout many years before.
I was going to touch that. Yeah,
like I feel like the 7th, 8th and 9th grade you should have like regular mm-hmm. sessions with a psychologist, mm-hmm. so that she would be able to understand who you are.
I would say more even.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was kind of thinking about that as well at the same time, because that's actually something I think about a lot. When I studied psychology of vocational psychology, like orientation on mm-hmm. your vocational pursuit, I was very like, if we all knew earlier what we are like more keen on, or that we have more
interests
and ability even,
mm-hmm.
because we're all so different. If we knew that since an earlier age, we would like be much more motivated people.
Yeah.
In general, for everything in our lives, we would be happier.
Mm-hmm.
We would be able to identify which areas I do need to focus more and which areas I don't need to be a bar at this. Yeah. I don't need to be like the best student at maths and Portuguese and science and chemistry and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if you can identify, okay, this is cool, but I do want to pursue that, maybe I should just focus on this.
Yeah.
And that will take so much stress off of you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like what I've heard most of my life around, not just me at home, but my peers and stuff and during school was you have to have the best grades that you can so you can choose anything. But that's not very helpful. That's like...
Yeah, like it's like you have to be good at everything so that you can then pick something.
Yeah, I kind of lost myself where I was going, because what I was saying is I would even add like a discipline in, I don't know if you call that.
A subject.
Like, a subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, in school, like since, I don't know, I would say even 5th grade, about like interests, about professions, about everything. And see each student would show more interest in.
Yeah.
Like, and if you are also working on finding your interests, finding your values, and finding the areas that you could put your work on,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be much more oriented. yeah. towards all your future. This yeah. would solve many problems, even in college. Let's like colleges. I mean, like uni. The how do you say, like the grades going up so much?
Yeah,
that's because like people that really can study so much and have the environment to focus and have the best grades in every subject, they're like putting the grades so high to anyone that wants yeah. to get in as well. I don't know I was very clear explaining this.
I agree
this,
with that. And I feel like what you're saying is true about the grade system being like the main focus of the entire like yeah, school part. That. And the fact that you need to have really good grades so you have more options, like you were saying, because here in Portugal, at least, you enter in certain like field of work based on the grades you have. So your choice of what you want to be when you grow up is like based on your grades and what you can choose. So maybe I feel like, for example, medicine, you have like good people that would have like would become really good doctors that cannot because they don't mm-hmm. have like the grades to it. And
sometimes because maths.
Yeah, exactly.
And you barely use
maths. Or sports.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's crazy. I feel like you're so right. We should have like more help in the therapy field to feel if that person is even suited to be a doctor and not just because of the grades.
100%.
Because then you have like a doctor that is like, he knows the theory, but it has like zero skills to handle the patient.
Like soft skills, like as a person.
I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very important.
Do you specialize in something like?
Yeah, I actually, so because my internship, like for the bar of the psychologist was in the babies area.
Oh,
that
cute.
Was, yeah, I joined a special, I started like that internship and the rest of my first time working at a very specific clinic that was mainly focused on the baby's brain development. So yeah, since like month zero. So I had to study like very deep neurological development and also like behavior development of the child since month zero to year five. So each month of development, I came like across the tiny bits of the brain that are like developing
really
at the time.
For me, yeah.
So yeah, it was a very great intel for me on how the brain works and develops at such a young age, because it's there that's everything is mainly
wow. Do you have any like really cute like info that you like
learned
that people don't know?
Yeah, okay, so there are so many
because
I consider that all that I studied about babies and the brain development and children in general is should be like common sense because it's what's the base of our development, but yeah. But I have this tiny thing that people always may be like, oh, okay. It's the, you know, when babies, you go like, cuckoo, like peekaboo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they get so like, they laugh so much. It's because actually, I would say like around month eight,
uh-huh.
like they don't have their 8 months. They don't have their memory, like brain wise, very developed yet. So they don't have this thing that we call object permanence, like developed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is they really think that you disappeared.
Yeah.
So it's like when you cover your face, they'll be like, "Where'd she go? Oh my
god,
is this real?"
Okay.
And then you show up again and it'd be like, oh my god, this is
really
happening.
Cute.
Yeah, so that's mainly because their memory is not developed yet.
Yeah, so they don't remember you were there, right?
And if you hide something from them at that age, they'd be like, okay, this doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, that stopped working later. But yeah.
Have you seen the trend of the conscious baby?
I don't think so.
No? So there was this TikTok trend that there was this baby that it was like a family that had two kids. One of them was like, I don't know how many months, but he didn't even like speak properly. And the other kid was like 4 or 5. So, and the mom is like, who wants to go to Disney Orlando? And the baby on the lap, he goes, me, with a finger. And people are like, okay, so this baby is like so different. Like, how can he know what this means and says me? And some therapists on TikTok reacted to that, saying that at that age, babies don't have the sense of self, like to say me.
Okay. What
the
age
word
again?
Me.
Sorry,
It was months old. I don't know.
Yeah, how many months. It was like not even
less than 1 year.
Okay, okay.
Maybe so. Maybe that was something
teached. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's sorry. Yes. Maybe that it's was fake. Taught. But yeah, I was wondering like, if you saw it.
Me,
me.
Okay, I wonder if it wasn't something like he saw in his brother or something.
Yeah,
or
and
on
he just copied.
And
you don't
he
know
just
who
copied.
It is.
Yeah. Because yeah, mainly they don't know what me means.
Yeah,
yeah.
So talking about babies, I have this question always. Do you think that personality is something that is built like in the, I don't know, maybe like child phase? Or do you think you are born with some kind of personality?
Well, studies say that babies don't have personality. They have like only temper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because personality always also has to do with experience and how you react to experience. And because you're a baby, you really don't have that much info of concepts and things to really portray yourself correctly. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that couldn't be personality, I would say. Someone may say another thing. That's really mostly based on opinion and studies that okay. I've seen. But I think... I do think that the environment that you have on mainly the first 5 years, but I would say like 3 years is the, 3 years old is that interval, that period of life is where your brain is developing the most, like no doubt. I usually say that during the first 12 months, the baby is like on acids or... let's say I don't know, mushrooms, something like that's activating their brain like so much to capture everything, like yeah. I say everything is everything that's around them, like second per second. They say they make like, we call it synapses, the connections between neurons, and they make like 1 million per second.
Damn.
It's a lot for me.
Yeah.
They're like, wow.
Yeah.
Absorbing. So they are like absorbing everything.
So when adults...
when the parents are fighting and they think that baby is
they're
just
capturing
there,
everything.
They capture everything.
And they're
going to
fight the same way.
That's crazy.
With them
crazy.
And with their peers. Because like mainly that subject is very important, that to parents have the awareness of what they do surrounding their kids. Because that's everything they're going to have as a first example of society. Yeah. And people in general and how they function. And if that's what they see is this is what humans be.
It's the normal.
Yeah, this is the normal. This is how I should be too, maybe, I guess. That's yeah. like the coping mechanisms that he gets from the parents. The ones you teach and the ones he observes. And
yeah.
actually the ones he observes are going to be much, much more prominent. Yeah.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can say a lot of things like to your kids, like do this, do that, and blah blah blah. But if you don't do
it's
the same,
it's how you act. That
yeah, if
actually
you act
influences.
Differently,
yeah.
they're gonna be like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, what they see is what they get.
Yeah.
So you still work with kids, or it was just that phase?
So yeah, that was my. I can't say I'm specialized in children. But that was my main focus in my first 4 years of being a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gave me a further study into the brain development and child's behavior, of course. But in the last year, I actually took a specialization. This is mm-hmm. a difficult word in English. Specialization in clinical. It was an advanced one, actually, in clinical and health psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Then, because I wanted to start working with the population in general with mental health,
mm-hmm.
with mental illness. Yeah, so adults, teens, and still children. Yeah, but yeah.
That's nice because usually, even from what I know, even adults, when they are doing therapy, usually most problems come from like early ages. So it's good that you have all that experience to
yeah.
touch on those.
No doubt. Because actually, that's why I said that when I studied the brain, the baby's brain development, it gave me such a great insight on how everything like impacts what you... show and deliver in your future, because it's not that I wasn't aware of that, but when you know that the brain is like such a sponge at such young age, it's much more clarifying.
So, but when you have like kids as your patient, mm-hmm. you always have to have the parents there as well, right? Or not?
Yeah, in the beginning, like in the first appointment, I would say like to the parent to come in with a kid and to see what information also the mother brings and what's her perception of the problem. But then I always like to talk to the child
alone.
Alone.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is not with babies. So with babies, what I do is I kind of try to subtitle what might be going on based on what I know of their brains
mm-hmm.
and like really the machine and based on what parents like report. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with children, like when they can speak, mm-hmm. I like to be alone with them as well yeah. to see.
Yeah, because if the issue is the parents, I always like yeah. wondered how and are they yeah, going to be able to
of course.
Open up. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, no doubt. If they're like young, older children, mm-hmm. like above 7 and mm-hmm. and so, they are very prone to tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. if the parents not there, if yeah. it's something with them.
Yeah.
I heard that with children, there's in therapy, there's some stuff to help, like more creative, like drawing and stuff. I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that the way that they draw, like their family says a lot of like hierarchy.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a more specific subject even. That's very related to the psychoanalytic side of psychology.
Okay.
There are a lot of currents and theories in psychology. I do identify with a bit of psychoanalysis as well. But yeah, what goes on there is because the child doesn't have as many concepts as we have and is not concerned about certain things that we are, like socially wise, like to mm-hmm. portray a better picture that I should than I should or something, they will portray exactly what they know.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, since you're curious, like about drawings yeah. and stuff, I don't know. I'm totally just making this up as an example, but I don't know. Picture like the child draws himself with the mother right next to them, like very big,
yeah,
and the father as well, but very small. Maybe the mother has some much bigger impact in his yeah. life and maybe not in a positive way. You have to explore that. Or if the father is not in a picture but it's always in the house, maybe someone not very present.
Yeah.
But this is just like little things that you would have to go further. But yeah, children through playful things can show you a lot. Yeah. Usually if you start like playing with them with role plays, like with dolls and stuff, that's where they'll show you how they talk at home. Like they speak with each yeah. other and how they, like,
that's so
good. When sometimes you catch kids, like, doing stuff, like, to their toys, like, you have to behave. That's because they're used to do that. Like, oh. and a little slap on the butt, you know? Oh. No, you've been bad. They
are used to that.
Yeah, they deal with this themselves. Yeah. yeah. And so you can see those kinds of stuff. They without reenact. Asking.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Yeah, that's really cute. Yeah. Do you feel like it's like your favorite type of patient? Do you have a favorite type of patient? Or do you have a least favorite type of patient?
least favorite. So, this is nothing personal, obviously. I would say like the least favorite thing to work with would be maybe speech therapy, like things related to... I said speech therapy as it was like the main thing that I don't like. It's not. I don't even have a formation on that. It's like all the area of special education support.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm not very keen on. I don't know much mm-hmm. about it. Like
mm-hmm.
To help even. So that's an area that I don't pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know. I would say like mental illness in general is my favorite. And really connecting with a patient and trying to help them understand themselves, basically. Mm-hmm. So either age, either gender, I don't think I have, or either mental illness diagnosis, whatever. I don't think I have a least favorite.
Yeah.
It's more like areas, like, for example, organizational psychology. I wouldn't go either. Like,
that's like
human
in
resources.
A company.
And, yeah, yeah. And companies yeah, yeah, and... Yeah. yeah, stuff like that I don't really play with, but yeah, the rest.
Is it really hard? Because I always have like this question, how do you handle like following a person with depression and not let it get to you really, as in how do you not let it consume you? You know,
like bring home the energy.
Exactly, and the energy. Because I feel like it's one thing if you deal with something different, like even ADHD or I don't know, OCD, I don't know, something
different diagnosis.
Exactly. But if we're talking about a really, really something like depression, like really heavy, heavier.
Yeah.
How do you, is it hard to deal with? Do you think it's the same for you?
Because I also think like when people are in your, how do you say, office or like sharing in a therapy session, like is it hard to not get emotional with the sharing when it's something a little heavier, or when the person in front of you is like,
I would start crying. I would cry.
Like sometimes I cry because other people are crying. So
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Yeah, well, that could happen. Like we're human.
Yeah. And I also, there's another thing. Because there's people who are very, very unlucky in general. Like I know some people are like bad things keep happening to them.
That's true. So and you just like, feel bad for them while they're
sharing. It's like if I was their therapist and they were like, oh, my brother was ran over last week. My girlfriend broke up with me today.
Yeah,
I lost my job. Like my mom is like at the hospital. It's like, how do you like... there has to be some cases that is like, how am I, like, I don't have anything to work with here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, I think it comes to being very sure of yourself too, like on what impacts you or not. Like, especially if you're dealing with subjects that the person is bringing to the appointment that you have relation to, like that you can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could kind of make you more
emotional
towards it. But I would say, because I've also worked a lot on myself, like emotionally and all that, and because I really know how to separate what I can do for this person and what I can't absolutely do out of the appointment, I resign to the, okay, this is my limit here. And I can't go home sad about this because I really can't do anything. Because if I'm going to be sad for everyone that comes to my appointments, I'm going to be like losing myself.
Yeah.
And so,
And you also need, like, do every therapist needs to have a therapist?
I would say everyone kind of would benefit from a therapist. But I would say that it's mostly important that you've been through through therapy before, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to be the best therapist you can be if you haven't, like, really worked on yourself and really, like, go deep your... stuffs.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I get like bad with words, but I think really if you want to be a therapist and really do your best job as a supporter with what you know and what you can do, I think it's best for you if you done all the job on you before. So it would even give you more confidence to work with people because if you haven't like gone through your own problems, like how are you going to be confident like telling other people that they can't come out too, like that you can help, you really can help them.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say like if you have a lot of therapy sessions going on with your clients and that's very heavy for you and it's messing you in some way, go to a therapist immediately. Or just maybe focus more on yourself if you've done all the work and you think it's just stress.
But if you go to a therapist now, you being a therapist, is there any like judgmental, you know, like, I know what you're doing, I know why you're gonna ask this question, do you have any kind of reservations now?
So I had a very unique experience with therapy myself. This because I was very, 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 very lucky, and this doesn't happen to everyone, to have a therapist, like the first therapist that I ever went to, was very in tune with my way of thinking and things like that. So yeah, it was a great match. So I immediately felt I was very, very understood. Mm-hmm. And that person could like speak the same language. And that's something that not everybody gets, like not everybody gets at the first experience with therapy. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I went to this therapist the first time when I was 17. So I wasn't a psychology student yet. Mm-hmm. I was very attentive as well anyway, but I always got the impression that she wasn't like trying too hard on any theory in specific. She was just like plainly listening to me. Mm-hmm. That was what I needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And obviously great skills that helped me throughout my mm-hmm. process. But with my personal experience, as it was always the same person mm-hmm. and I really connected with her, I never kind of noticed. There was like tiny bits of things that I would be like, I know what you're doing. Like, I know why you're asking this. But so I would immediately answer what she wanted. Yeah. But I was very, 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 very easy on therapy. As you can see, I talk a lot. So, yeah, I would like just spill all the tea from beginning to end. So it was easy.
Yeah. If you have a patient and you can easily diagnose with something, do you tell them right away or do you keep that info for yourself?
I wouldn't right away, because with mental illness and disorders and diagnosis, like what happens is, this cliche is real that we all have a tiny bit of like each disorder. But because traits.
Wow.
But that's because they're traits. Like, they are only like a disorder or a problem for you if they like impact your daily life mm-hmm. in a negative way. Because, for instance, like when someone says, oh, I'm so OCD, like you're not definitely OCD, but you like to keep everything clean. So that's why I say like we all have like certain traits, like with ADHD. Trend now, everyone keeps saying like, oh, ADHD doesn't exist, or ADHD, we all have ADHD, and that is why, like, that is because actually we all have ADHD traits. If we're tired, if we didn't sleep, if we're going through depression or other stuff. So what I want to say is like, so when you have a first impact of someone and you think immediately like, this sounds like this disorder or this diagnosis, you're probably doing wrong on focusing just on that. Okay. Because that could be a signal of something, but maybe in the next appointment, you're going to be a signal much different, like mm-hmm. a symptom of another completely random different thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or nothing at all. Maybe just the person in that phase is going through something that is showing those symptoms. So what you should do is understand what's behind these symptoms. What's causing these symptoms? Mm-hmm. Where does this come from? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, diagnose needs to be like very in a responsible way.
Yeah.
Like you dig deep enough to say, I really think that this is what's mm-hmm. behind like all your problems.
Yeah. I think I have one last question before we go into like back to school and back to work, because that's what we was supposed to focus. But I feel like we've been wanting a therapist here for the longest time, so we are full of questions.
Yeah, you can come again.
Yeah, whenever you want. I have a question, which is like, now there's a lot of therapy through like a video call. Like, mm-hmm. how do you feel about that? Do you think, because we were talking about having a match, connecting, do you think it's harder to connect that way? Would you always prefer in person?
Like online therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a special for me, because my friends keep saying, why don't you give online mm-hmm. appointments? And I really insist on face-to-face, because I think a bit of a percentage of therapy and the connection with the person is also like the presence of mm-hmm. the other person. Also the going out the house, meeting a person, hearing their voices, like their smell, their everything, like you're going to be connecting much more deeply with someone in person than in video. I really refrain from online appointments. I would do if I had to, but I really, really prefer like face-to-face. Yeah, because it's like half the job for you too. If you're like picture in a depression for a long time, you don't go out the house, you don't see your friends, you don't see anyone, and you're going to be seeing your therapist online.
Yeah,
it's like if you see your therapist face-to-face, you're going to have like, it's not a friend because it's different variables there, but you're going to have like a real person with you that you can smell, that you can maybe give a hug at the end of the appointment.
Makes
that
sense.
Brings so much more to us because we're social. We're not computers.
Makes sense. And it gives me another question. Do you feel like you can make friends with patients because it's a very thin line, right? Like you connect, but
well,
outside
I
of
think,
the clinic.
Yeah, I think it like if you've been so long with a client and you identify with them so much, because that can happen, like me and my therapist in case. Mm-hmm. I think they're a kind of like friendshipy connection can like rise, but not the kind that you're gonna call to go for coffee or anything.
Okay.
The certain boundaries are gonna be there. Like I'm only gonna like have an appointment, be with this person at a formal appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can be friendly with you and share and
be
happy for you, like as a friend would be as well, but not really in, I'm involved emotionally with you now to expect something from you too. Because the main thing about, not the main thing, but the one thing about therapy and the relationship with the client and the therapist is, the therapist shouldn't really expect anything from the patient for themselves.
Okay.
Like you're totally just focusing on the other person and trying to help the best you can, but not like involving yourself like in the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and your personality, your ways, whatever.
Yeah.
You should be like as neutral as possible in certain ways. And also, obviously, if you identify with certain things, it's I don't see why not like making that person know that, oh, I really like that too. We have that in common. Like maybe the person will even feel like, oh, okay, she's my type.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But that's going back to also something you asked before, like the therapist not matching you like at first, that can be a very hard subject for many, many people searching for therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is sometimes people go to their first appointment and even second or try therapy for a while and it doesn't work. And sometimes it's because they didn't connect to the psychologist in question. And it could be, well, personal thing with a psychologist. Like picture you go and the psychologist has a weird beard that you can't just stop looking at.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's going to mess with your therapy. And if or if you're like, I don't like this type of men or this type of woman, women, like you're going to be like having something pulling you back from really opening fully. So what I suggest is when you're looking for a therapist, if the first time or the first therapist that you go to doesn't really match you, it can be just that. It doesn't mean that therapy is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you can't psychology isn't real or something, or that you are broken and no one can help you, because it could make you feel like that. Some therapists, I would say, like, we're all people. There are going to be some therapists that maybe are not that ready or are going to say something that's going to sound bad. Or
I don't know. Yeah, I do think that some people should not be therapists.
Yeah, that happens as well, of
course.
I don't like to talk, like, bad about colleagues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in any job, there are going to be, like, people that are more…
And I think it can be like a match, like you were saying, not that it's a bad therapist, but maybe it's like more old-fashioned and you get there like super young with young problems, more open-minded, and it doesn't like someone like older looking at you talking about like open-mind problems. You can be like, maybe this is
about
not the
intimate
person for
stuff,
me. Or I heard like friends that are more like into arts and they get in, talking about like jobs and stuff with a therapist that it's more conservative and thinks you need to have like a serious job, that can affect a lot. So sometimes like that therapist is good for someone else that is also conservative.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it doesn't, obviously you should be a little like neutral, but I feel like everyone, since we are humans,
like
have
because
their
you didn't connect to a therapist, it doesn't mean as well that that therapist is bad.
Yeah,
it just means that you didn't connect them
exactly. So, and, and you're young, so maybe for like younger people, more open minded, you'll be a match. But maybe someone older will look at you like this girl.
Yeah, you never
is
know.
Not, like doesn't know enough because
of course.
Old people are judgmental too. So everyone,
yeah, of course. I'm always like open to that. Like if you don't like me, I will understand. I'm not going to judge the person. So that's why I tend to be like as neutral as possible, especially with older people. Like I don't go like as fashionable and things like that as I would like to the appointments or anything. Not with just the old people, but with everyone in general. So because I don't want people to have like an opinion of me,
like
a
prejudice.
Very strong opinion of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want them to think of me and I don't even remember what she was wearing.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. More
that's
like
because it's not about you on that space.
I want like
right?
the impact to be like what really I'm
trying. She made me feel
trying,
listened
yeah.
to. She
yeah.
made me feel good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm really trying to work with on the appointment. But yeah, so what I would say for people looking for therapists, I would say really look to understand if the person speaks your language.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all speak like through language, different languages, like in a way that, of course, with what you were saying, like artists, people, art people, like maybe are not so understood by people that never dealt with that kind of context and stuff like that. And there is a specific case that you're not speaking with a person that knows your language.
Yeah.
So that's what you should look for.
Yeah.
Maybe if someone, a therapist doesn't understand you so well, maybe she really doesn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, yeah. So, but just don't quit on trying therapy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's a good advice. Should we go back to school now?
Yeah. So yeah, it's September. Back to school is here.
Right.
School is here. And we feel like some people really have some issues dealing with like getting back to school. They get anxious. You also talked about ADHD. We feel like that's, do you feel like it's trending now talking about it? Do you feel like it's more recognized now? What is ADHD?
What I think happened with ADHD trending is for a long time, ADHD was always associated with like low school performance, like bad grades, and you immediately picture that kid, usually a boy, like
focus.
Going out around, going around
very
the classroom and very hyperactive, and that's just a stereotype that didn't allow like other cases to be like observed
diagnosed.
In the same way as with the same disorder.
Can you? Like, what other types of cases can there be? Like, because for me, that's also like the stereotype, like something that cannot focus on school. So, but like, what other, like, cases
because
can there be?
Because now there must be so many kids that can't focus on school too.
Yeah.
Because all, like, the phones and... So it must be harder to diagnose now. Like, so
many
people not being able.
Yeah, it's definitely a special subject, ADHD itself. I'm not going to go as deep or else we won't talk about anything else. But the thing is, as children, especially women, are more prone to show ADHD in different ways, like being more quiet even, than just hyperactive, like motor-wise. And but these are really just very specific traits. Like if you ever doubt anything, you should obviously get support and have formal evaluations of evaluation of all your symptoms. But it can be shown as as very different from even ADHD to ADHD. Like my ADHD is not going to be the same ADHD as other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like the neurodivergency that includes ADHD, it's very, very broad. And because what I mentioned earlier, like related to we all having traits of ADHD, and because of phones, like you were saying, and internet and all that, we get a bit of a mix of what it is exactly.
Sometimes you only
and do
have
I have
like,
it or not?
Lack of attention and it, you don't have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
You just cannot focus anymore.
Yeah.
Because of the phone, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same. You cannot say that you have ADHD.
The thing is, ADHD comes from a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And what it like means in a very, very summarized way is that the things that common people have already like difficulty with, ADHD is going to have like a much deeper a difficulty inside. Like, I didn't phrase this well, but it's like, what's hard for you as a regulated person and neurotypical,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be much harder.
Like a bigger challenge for
someone. Yeah, a bigger challenge for someone with ADHD. I was saying before as well, you can actually show ADHD symptoms along your life, especially if you're dysregulated, like emotionally, and if your brain has is going through so much stress, like in certain phase, you can show ADHD tomorrow if you don't sleep today.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you are ADHD. That means that your brain is dysregulated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing with, again, internet and cell phones and all the danger for the brain is because of the rapid development of artificial intelligence and algorithms and internet and social media and so much comparison and so much stress,
mm-hmm.
our brains were not really fully developed to deal with certain
so much input, so
many at the same time.
Yeah, the other day I saw that we have the same amount of stimulus in one day that a person back in like the 1800s had in like
their entire life.
Yeah,
it's insane. And also, we aren't meant to see like so many beautiful people every day as we do on social media.
That's true.
Like
so
many
faces in general, like
yeah.
people used to know their like neighbors and people from their town, and now like we are traveling, we are seeing people in videos, we are seeing so many faces. Maybe that's why we've been feeling like we've seen like almost like dupes of the same person, because
of course
it's like a lot to absorb.
It is.
And I feel like another problem of the whole like social media thing, not only our attention span is really short, but also a lot of people self-diagnose because they see like
course.
On TikTok, like the other day I was saying, if you like to listen to the same song over and over, maybe you have ADHD or you're like have this you're doing this just repetitive thing and you know sometimes it's just like you just want to hear the same song.
Yeah, that's
like that. I'm like that when I'm hooked on a
doesn't
song.
Doesn't mean
I
you
to
have like a disorder
because it gives you a dopamine and you know it's there, so you want to feel it again.
Yeah.
The thing is, ADHD are known for reaching like for dopamine much more frequently than neurotypicals. But the thing is, like with all this rapid development of internet, like we since the 90s, like began to deal with the world that from a second to another, you can see what's going on the other side.
Yeah.
And our parents didn't. Like us, I think, or all ages are kind of similar. Like before even like high school, maybe we didn't have this much comparison with like styles around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And so much info on what even jobs you could take. Like that is going to give so much, like put so much more pressure on you to decide what to do with your life, because suddenly you don't have like 10 alternatives. Suddenly you have the world's alternatives.
Yeah.
And like odd jobs, for instance, like another thing that I'm not doing that I should feel bad about because I'm not successful, because I'm not doing anything, because
of
I have so many options.
Yeah.
That goes along with like bad vocational orientation that should be in school since early age.
Of course. And even like in school now, I remember back then when you had like to study or do homework, you get into your house. And when we were kids, we had like, if we didn't want to study, we had like the option to watch TV, whatever was on, because you couldn't like select or go play outside. So you only need to neglect those two options and focus on study. Now, for kids, they have so many options to distract from study and homework. So I can only imagine how hard it is now.
And yeah, like
my niece is already, like, she's always doing TikToks. Like, she's eight.
And a very important thing that you're taught since a very young age is, like, to feel boredom and know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And if we suddenly, like, especially the youngest generations, they're already born in a wave of there's so much stimuli everywhere if you need to. You're not going to have the option to be bored.
Yeah, no.
If you're not forced to.
I don't think my nephews know what it is to be bored.
Yeah.
And I also wonder, you were saying in the beginning that you studied that the three to five are the most important to, like, development. So usually back then it was like your parents, your family that you had in touch with, because it's like preschool, those years.
Yeah.
So now it's not, because I see babies with iPads. So they are having this input from all these other, like, people, random, that are going to have an impact on their brains and development. So it's going to be fun to analyze, like, later on, which are the impacts of this generation. I have no idea, but
I think that fortunately we now understand better and better the risk of all this dealing with the technology so early and with so much stimuli since such a young age, that it's becoming also trendy to not
disconnect.
Yeah, to disconnect.
Yeah.
So that's a positive, I would say, trend that is going to enlighten parents to not just, like, forcefully entertain their kids all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I still see a lot of parents.
No, yeah, definitely, you're gonna see much more of that than the hard way, because it's easier, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I've seen, like, it's not my niece, but it's my boyfriend's niece. She was one and already, like, scrolling on YouTube, watching videos in, like, Russian, in Portuguese, but, like, Brazilian. So I'm wondering if she's gonna, like, catch on some words, even, because
she will.
Yeah, it's such a young age. She just doesn't have the help.
Yeah, and that's a very, very dangerous thing to leave something like that, such as the internet, in the hand of a child, because you're not there to explain to her what she just saw.
Mm-hmm.
If she saw something she shouldn't have seen, and that messed with her. Like, you do need support to such a young brain to be in interacting with such a wide range of information. Yeah, and I said 3 years old is, like, the main period of the brain development, because it physically is. Like, your brain reaches, like, 75 to 80% of its development at 12 months. And then at 3 years... you're going to be, like, with 90% of the brain of an adult, machinery-wise. Yeah, but not concept-wise, of course. But, like, the main structure of the brain is almost done there. So that's why it's so important to be there for your kids and connect it the right way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we asked our followers for some questions regarding, like, school. So a lot of people ask about why school gives us such anxiety. And I remember having this too. Not only, like, I remember as a, like, I don't know, 5-year-old is when I entered school, I think. That year was, like, the worst. Like, I was crying and stuff. But I remember, like, even after that, every year, not crying, but you feel anxiety. Like, it's a new, you're going to receive your...
I remember I wouldn't have breakfast. I would vomit.
Really?
Like, that's how much anxious I was. I was like, bleh.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very, very anxious.
And
I don't think it was because, like, oh, I'm going to not have my parents around. I think it was really, like, I'm going to be with other kids.
Mm. Yeah.
And teacher and environment. It's true. You feel like, because I felt that at 5. But I think, like, every year after that, even if you know, like, your classmates, it's like, since you have that vacation period, then you enter again, it's like brand new always, you feel a little,
like,
stressed.
Like, what if I'm going to be bullied? What if people don't like me? I don't think I ever had that separation anxiety from my parents. I think I was good on that area, but definitely had very much anxiety, like regarding like relationships with others, like,
and the beginning of the school.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is complex subject as well, because well, what's giving you anxiety school related could be many things.
Yeah.
I would say one very expectable thing to be anxious for is you just came from a period of vacation, usually where you're very aligned just with your family and closer friends, where you're not really needing to portray anything or perform anyway.
Yeah.
So when school starts, it's different, because either way, you're going to have to be present like for a certain time in the classroom with the teachers and with the new subjects that you don't know what it's going to be and if it's going to be hard or easy. And that on its own, it's a new thing to deal with and different from a little of discomfort. But what sometimes goes with school anxiety, and especially the beginning of the year, I would say sometimes it's very connected to what is school for you? What what does it mean really? Like, is it the grades? Is it the teachers? Is it your peers? Mm-hmm. You don't go along so well. Is that because you're gonna have someone in your classroom that you don't know and you don't like? Or is that I don't know. I would say, like, if you are getting a lot of anxiety school related, I would try to really like seek support, obviously. And also try to identify what really is causing you stress. Mm-hmm. Like, try to separate, like, even like in a paper sheet, like, write down, is it my colleagues? Do I like them or not? Okay, I seem to be fine around this area. So is it grades? Am I portraying as I, like, performing as I wanted to? Or do I need to perform much better to reach certain goals? Or are my parents not okay with my grades and I need to do better for them? You know, there's a lot of like influence to that, but so like really compartmentalize like everything about school. If it's something like school anxiety, like before going to school or before starting school, and try to identify really what's going on.
It's the cause. That's a good advice. And I feel like either way, like school in general has a lot going on, so there's a lot of stress associated with that, because you have to, like you were saying, you have to perform. In a sense of, you're going to be socializing, and you, if it's like the first impression on classmates, your friends, groups, you have like some kind of like hierarchy. In the 10th grade, 9th
of
grade,
course.
All that matters. And then you have teachers, and then the pressure from parents and grades. There's so a lot of things testing you. So
yeah, you're always like being evaluated.
Yeah, by friends, by teachers, by
everything.
Yeah.
Either you want it or not.
Everything changes. Like, I remember a year of school. Like, it's so much going on, like, so much thing going
especially
on.
Especially teenage
1 week,
years.
Sometimes 1 week, like, everything changes. Sometimes in 1 week, you start dating a dude, and then you're bullied by the end of the week. It's, like, a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Especially teenage years are very hard for teenagers, of course. Because obviously, your body is going through so much transformation, and your brain as well, like, with so many hormones like popping up, and you start wanting to define who you are, because you want to be someone, you want to be singular as well, like not the daughter of X and Y, and not the sister or brother of someone. I want to be my own person. So you're at the same time trying to search for all that, trying to understand what you're feeling and how you feel in your body and all these changes. That per se is such a huge stress, like puberty. And then you also have to be evaluated, like, like evaluated all the time and perform in school, like for your grades and also for positive relationships with your peers. So I would say it's a big, big job.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things going on.
Yeah. So yeah, like therapy in this case, like support in this case is more than needed, I would say. Like it's more than advice. Yeah. Schools should be more like prepared for that as well.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
There's also questions here about why can't I stop procrastinating while I'm guessing while like studying or at school. And this kind of relates to what we were talking about, maybe about like
attention deficit. Yeah. And motivation as well.
Yeah.
So procrastination is often related to something that's giving you anxiety or that you're trying to postpone because it's going to be hard or because it's going to take you so long or because you don't have the energy at that moment or something that is pulling you back from the job. So that per se is stressful. Mm-hmm. And when you feel stressed, you kind of have this tendency to feel kind of stuck and postpone it as long as you can. And what happens is if you end up avoiding it so much with other things that are giving you much more positive stimuli at that moment, you're going to be much more like involved in that and procrastinate longer. Because it's so hard then to come out, like come off an activity that is giving you so much dopamine to change for a thing that I'm not really wanting to do. So it's hard to switch from procrastination to do the actual job. But I would say like tips to deal with procrastination would be like, first, always, I always say this, like assess and try to understand why you're procrastinating. Like, is it the task? Is it the job that has this task that you don't identify with?
The other day I saw a meme that was like, I just did a task that I was procrastinating for 6 months and it literally took me 5 minutes. It's like, usual. I related to it so much because sometimes it's not even that deep.
Sometimes
it's a call for a doctor, you know, for a doctor appointment. Sometimes it's not that deep.
But do you like making calls?
No.
To people that you don't know.
I don't know.
Easy one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But sometimes it might be because something is so boring that I don't really want to do it now.
Or like time consuming or whatever. Yeah.
Or maybe I'm so stressed with other things that I'm not going to focus on this now.
That happens to me too. I feel like I procrastinate the most when I'm overwhelmed. Like if I have a lot of things, I'm like, I need to do so much shit. And I see myself just like laying down thinking that I need to do so much shit.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And if it's just like a few stuff, it's easier to organize. But when I'm like really overwhelmed.
That's where the tips come in, actually, that I was going to say. So usually I would say first, try to assess definitely what's avoiding you from doing the task, like mentally, stress-wise and stuff. But sometimes you have such a great job to do or something that's going to take so much work. The easiest way to not fall in that deep cycle of procrastination and overwhelming and overwhelmness would be divide the task in many tasks.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be like, oh, I have to do this huge job. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have to start doing this and then I'll have to do this and then I'll have to do this and suddenly the task will be done. But there's a psychiatrist that says it is actually one that helps a lot with ADHD and procrastination is very related to ADHD. She always says like if the task seems too hard, it's because it's not like divided in tasks enough. So if you have it to divide it in like 20 tasks, do it.
Yeah.
Do it as easiest as it comes for you. Like if it is like the task, if you have to do something on your computer and the first task is like open the computer and the program. Yeah. Okay, that's task one. Usually, motivation comes from the action and not the other way around. Like that's the hard part.
I get so much motivation by taking stuff.
Yeah, of
course. So I always do like big lists. And sometimes I do like, I add stupid shit to the list just to like do an extra
to have brush my teeth.
But it helps. Like sometimes it's like shower. you know?
Yeah.
And I tick.
I know.
Because it's like, I can shower, you know?
I can not forget this, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. What happens is...
But like sometimes I stress out if I don't have shower included in the daily tasks, you know?
Okay.
It's like, it's like I need to have like my 20 minutes because, you know, like
of
I need
course.
To count on it. So yeah.
That's cool. That's being organized and yeah.
Yeah,
having
I need
your
to
task.
Organize a lot myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course, like organizing a very huge task that is seeming so hard for you that you want to avoid it would be easier if you divide it in many mm-hmm. simple tasks.
Yeah.
And the ticking thing helps you. Like
yeah.
if you divide it in so many tasks that you can go on and tick everything
yeah,
that you
yeah.
do, you will see like visually
yeah.
that you're getting to the
It's
the
like
end
a bar that is getting full.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens is these kinds of things are little accomplishments. It makes your dopamine go
yeah.
higher.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Someone
yeah.
else asked how to get over perfectionism in school.
Well, yeah, perfectionism is a hard one also. Because you're...
Do you think usually it comes from... Because I feel like sometimes I suffer from that. Do you think it comes from like something that was demanded of you?
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. do you think it's just
That's
like...
That's my first self like red flag on my mm-hmm. brain. When someone says that they deal with perfectionism, my first thing is like, oh, someone demanded that from you when you were
yes.
little. Because yes. like it's not... I don't think it's... how do you say it in English? It's not intrinsicate from
like self-input.
Like yeah, yeah, yeah. To excel
being,
at everything.
The human mm-hmm. being is not like it's not born to be perfect. It's not like it doesn't. It's not
no
inside
yeah.
you.
I,
so I
get
think someone put it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So perfectionism means making everything perfect and in the time due that I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is. The human being, as you said, doesn't have that like in themselves,
mm-hmm.
and that's because they can't.
Yeah,
like because you can't actually excel everything at the same time and at the time that you want. So that's a realization that you sometimes don't have for yourself because someone maybe asked so much of you, mm-hmm. or it could also have to do with. Control a situation. I mean, in the way that if the person like feels like other way of other aspects of their life is not are not very in tune with what she wanted, and picture as school. I'm relating this to school. Maybe
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. not supposed to, but maybe in school is where she can control like having. The outcome that she wants, which is like studying so much and being perfect on the grades, that could be a situation that this makes me feel more in control with my life. But I would say like try to really evaluate like this demanding of yourself, like
mm-hmm.
this demanding to be perfect all the time and have everything put together, because I think what many people don't have the space to realize because of parents and society and culture and comparisons and all that. So what happens is we end up not having much space to really understand what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always trying to control so much because we're not given much space sometimes to understand that you can't be perfect at anything, like at everything you want. And what you need to maybe realize to be like easier on yourself is that you actually need and not a lot of a lot of time and space, even mentally, to really apply yourself to do the things the way you want.
Mm.
And it's gonna always take time for you to get better and better at it. Like
yeah.
it comes with repeating it and not like forcibly wanting to do everything at the same time.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I think we lack this sensation of being okay with getting there with time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're maybe we have like with also with internet and all that we were talking about before, and parents and culture and society and wanting to be successful and what success means.
Yeah.
We are always running and don't always remember like basic, obvious things. Mm-hmm. Like, can I be perfect at this at the moment? Can I, with the environment that I have at home, have the best mm-hmm. grades at school mm-hmm. as well? Do I have support? Do I have information? Do I... blah, blah. These are such broad, like, subjects.
Advices and, yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, we have someone asking. I'm guessing this is all related to school. So they ask, how can I feel more comfortable in my own skin? So like you were saying, it's like teenager years. So you're like figuring out who you are mm-hmm. as you go. So a lot of comparison also in school. So you see yeah. like a lot of, I don't know, beautiful girls, if you're a girl and you're like maybe not comfortable as yet, like that, those girls to wear that or whatever. And it can be damaging to compare at that mm-hmm. young age and feeling like you're not there like the other girls, you're not as comfortable. So do you have like any advice on this? Or yeah, do you know why it happens?
Feeling comfortable. Yeah, I think this is also like a good question, like to finalize the theme, all these themes, because yeah. it really reaches many, many points. So it is a goal for all of us, I guess, to feel comfortable in our own skin. And what I always advise is to really try to understand what moves you and what you really like and what you really don't like. Just you. Not the others around you. Like, you're obviously in teenage years, especially you're developing. So your influences are gonna influence. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's no problem. Like if you're more like drawn to a certain group of girls or boys that are like dressed more this way, or are interested in those bands or in movies or different aspects that you might. Be interested in. It's cool to gather information with all the people like you have around you, but it's not cool for yourself to compare so much with what's around you and with what the other person may or may not have better than you or more than you or earlier than you.
Yeah.
Because there are so many variables that affect that. And that's important for you to not compare yourself to others. And also think, like, if I really focus on what do I like?
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on understanding, like, the you, like, what the you wants.
You'll attract people like that, and I think so too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But the thing is, you're going to like be this person with so much different influences, different mm-hmm. that had other influences, yeah. that you're mm-hmm. going to be so yourself,
yeah.
that you're going to be, you end up being very, very special and very, very different.
Yeah.
And
yeah. you can grow in confidence based on that,
of course.
Too, like knowing.
And if you work
like.
On yourself towards something that it is what you identify with, it's going to be more natural for you. It's going to be more confident mm-hmm. for you, because it's not something that you're copying. It's not something that you wish you could be. Mm-hmm. It's special. It's niche. And
yeah,
and that's how you find your peers too. If certain person really identify with this special thing that you think is awkward, but you identify with,
yeah.
that's how... groups are created and identities
yeah.
are created
yeah.
and maybe what you're really wishing you had in another person is something that you maybe are not so comfortable in mm-hmm. yourself. So look for that. Look what's not okay
totally.
With you and work on it as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. And I feel like growing older, like when you're a teenager, since you compare a lot and a lot is going on, it's harder to see that. But when you get older, even the things that you thought were cringe about you or mm-hmm. your culture, your family, your weird phase becomes something that really makes you you. And I feel mm-hmm. like when you grow older, you start like embracing that, and it's mm-hmm. it gains like a special feeling, the things that you thought were weird.
So, yeah.
Well, I guess we talked a lot about what we could.
Yeah.
At school, like time passed by so quickly. But we would love to have you again touch some other subjects on another time, because yeah. we have the questions.
Yeah, yeah. And we have the problem.
I don't have all the answers, but I do like yeah. talking about everything that yeah. surrounds psychology. So yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much for coming.
But thank
you. And we hope you guys enjoyed. Let us know if you want Carolina to come back. And yeah, I'll see you on the next episode, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching. Bye.
Bye.
I don't know which camera to look at.